The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So it's the custom here at IMC that the first talks of the year are on the Four Noble Truths. This is the first Wednesday for me here this year. And one of the reasons why it's my custom is that it seems like the new year is a time to prepare for the coming year and to offer, you know, to set our sights on what is central in our lives. And there's something very meaningful about the Four Noble Truths as the central teachings of Buddhism. One of the things that's some people prefer not to have the Four Noble Truths because it begins with suffering. And that's a drag. And it's better not to admit their suffering. It's better not to focus on. It's better to focus on the good things, and to celebrate and to have joy and go dancing and, you know. And but it's not a few people who have spent years, lifetimes maybe, cleverly or not so cleverly avoiding their suffering. And sooner or later, it's seen as a dead end. And so at some point, part of growing up is to stop and really learn to stop and see, oh, this is suffering. Here it is. And stop in such a way that we're not reactive to it. We're not caught in it. We're not pushing it. We're not troubled by it. And the idea of not being troubled by trouble, not being troubled by suffering, is a phenomenally wonderful thing. It doesn't mean that we're condoning it. It doesn't mean we're just now going to, you know, as good Buddhists, we're just going to suffer better. But it's really meant to be the beginning of healing, beginning of freedom from suffering. That's really the whole enterprise of Buddhism, is not to be left with suffering, but to have suffering leave. For us, So that's the whole thing. But to begin by having a very simple relationship to suffering, learning to be with it and not try to escape it or fix it or attack it or make big cosmic conclusions about yourself or the world because of it. It's just very simple. And that's the first noble truth, the truth of suffering. The second noble truth is the cause of suffering. That's usually how it's interpreted. And it's a powerful interpretation. Because if there's a cause to suffering, then we can consider whether it's possible to address that cause. If there's no cause to our suffering, then we just have to go along for the ride. You know, then we're just suffering because. You know, there's no because. We're just suffering, and so you might as well just accommodate the suffering or just pray and hope that goes away, or just kind of go along for the ride. But if there's a cause, then we can do something about the cause. And so the second noble truth has to do with the cause of suffering. And the cause that Buddhism emphasizes is psychological. And in saying that our suffering has a psychological cause, some people say, wait a minute, it's all in me? I mean, you know, people are doing terrible things to me and treating me terribly, and that's why I'm suffering. They may be, it's true. But then I think it's helpful to say that the definition of suffering in the Four Noble Truths is that suffering that arises because of the psychological cause. So if someone calls you some someone insults you or offends you in some way, it's painful. But in addition to the pain, there might be suffering, or there might be something that happens inside of you based on your psychological reaction and response to the insult. So the first noble truth is that suffering that arises because of your psychological response. And that's the place where we can do the most, we have the most responsibility, the most, that's where you can make a difference. You can't necessarily stop someone from offending you. You may or may not, and hopefully you have the wisdom to know how and when. But the idea is you're the only person that you really have ultimate say about. So to learn how to be present and look at the cause within yourself is part of the enterprise of the Four Noble Truths. And then the good news of Buddhism is the Fourth Noble Truth, which is maybe initially, until we get into it more deeply, rather unfortunate the way it's worded. It only says it's the cessation of suffering, the truth that suffering can come to an end. And some people, when they hear that, it's not good enough just to end suffering. You know, you're supposed to, you know, we want to be filled with delight and joy and happiness and just, you know, free of suffering is just kind of like neutral. You know, that can't be good enough. These Buddhists don't have a very high standard. But it's really the good news, and it's meant to be a shorthand, I think, for what's called in Buddhism Mahasukha, great happiness. And then the fourth noble truth is a path of practice, a series of things you can do that help create the conditions for that Mahasukha, create conditions for that ending of suffering. And again, these set of conditions are also an area of personal responsibility. We have to walk the path. There is no path of practice unless we walk it. And so we're given these eight different areas of our life that we can start taking some responsibility for us. We can engage with and not just wait for, you know, freedom from suffering just to happen on its own. We have to kind of do our part, our work. And that's the Eightfold Path. So one of the things that's really remarkable about this formulation is that it's at the heart of Buddhist teachings. And if we see Buddhism as a religion, it's the core principle and teaching of the tradition that's free of the supernatural. It's free of metaphysics. It's free of complicated abstract philosophy. It's free of beliefs that you have to accept on faith. It's free of things that are kind of, you know, metaphysically, supernaturally, spiritually, kind of like, what? Do I have to really believe that? Or how does that work? Or what goes, you know, what is this? It's almost non-religious, or maybe it is non-religious. It's like, it's so basic. If you suffer, there's a cause. It's possible to bring all that to an end. There's a way to do that, to work on that. And I think it's quite remarkable that something that simple lies at the heart of this Buddhist tradition. It frees us also, one of the beautiful things it does, it frees us from Buddhism. Because, anyway, so I'll talk, maybe mention that more, but it also gives us I think of the Four Noble Truths as a framework or perspective that's portable and useful in many, many different settings. And it kind of is meant to kind of cut through the complications of many such things so we can get to the core in the simple, kind of the simple way to end the suffering. If we're suffering some way, and we're suffering, you know, if you say, why are you suffering? And you say, well, in my religion of upbringing, there's this belief about X, Y, and Z, and I'm not living up to X, Y, and Z, and but it says in the great scriptures of my religion, and I guess if that's, just it gets very complicated very quickly. You have to kind of go back and read the scriptures, and you have to go to the religious leaders and say, well, I think we need to change the scriptures so that I can be happy. It gets very complicated. Or we start looking at we're suffering for some way, and rather than being religious, we're Freudian. And so we start going to our Freudian analyst and reviewing our childhood and exploring it for years to try to understand all the dynamics, what goes on, what happened there and all that. It's certainly very useful sometimes to do that, but, it can be very expensive. And the idea is the Four Noble Truths are meant to be much more simple, much more direct, and ideally goes somehow right to the heart of where we can make the most difference, if we can, if we can really see it through to the end, to where it's going. So, and it's applicable in so many different areas. So here's an analogy that I love for the Four Noble Truths. If you go to the, the savannas of Africa to go, and you're a wildlife photographer, and you want to take pictures of lots of, wildlife, you could just kind of put your camera over your shoulder and just wander around the savannas, the plains, looking for animals to take pictures of. That's one way for sure. Another way is you can set up your camera and yourself at the watering holes. And sooner or later, all the animals have to come to the watering hole. And you can, and you can get pictures there that way. So sooner or later, every important issue in your life will come visit you if you sit at the watering hole of suffering. If you're paying attention to suffering, everything you need to really know will appear. And then if you study that suffering and ask yourself, what's really going on inside of me when I'm suffering? What is my contribution to it? And the contribution that Buddhism is most concerned with, or points to most as what will help you become free, is what's called thirst. Which is a certain kind of compulsion or drivenness. And if you're operating under compulsion, then you can't be free. That's part of the reason why suffering is suffering, because there's no freedom in it. You're stuck in it. It's claustrophobic. So that thirst is a particular kind of desire, which is compulsive. Some people like to translate the word not as thirst, but as craving. So what kind of desire are you caught in that leads to that suffering? And again, here we're looking at not metaphysics, not some complicated spirituality, some great idea of cosmic truth. We're just looking at something very simple, psychological. And then, I'm attached to something, I'm caught in something. And then if you can stop justifying the value of being caught, which some people are brilliant, justifying why it's important to stay caught in the desire, be attached. But if you can let go of it, then you experience the release, the freedom from that caughtness, and you experience the release from the suffering that came out of that caughtness. And that freedom creates space in the heart, space in the mind, for ease, for peace, for happiness, for well-being, for being able to meet the next situation in a fresh way. And it's not a small thing to end our compulsion. It's not a small thing to put down how we're caught by desires of any and all kinds. We don't have to give up desires, but to give up being caught in desires. And to not have that suffering that follows in the wake of being caught by desires is a phenomenal thing to experience. And when it's done thoroughly and completely, It is one of the, maybe the greatest happiness, greatest sense of well-being that a person can ever experience. And it comes with a lot of benefits. And one of the benefits it comes with is that then you become a person who is a gift to others. Because then you have a heart that's open, you have a heart that's connected, you have nothing, you know, barrier between an open, loving or compassionate heart to the world around you. So the simplicity of the Four Noble Truths, there was a Chinese story of someone being told, I think it was the governor of a province, it was apparently someone who's a little bit full of himself maybe, going to a monk and saying, you know, what's the core teaching of Buddhism? And the monk said, the Four Noble Truths. And the governor said, even a child of six knows that. And the monk said, yes, but even a man of 90 doesn't necessarily know how to practice it. So it's a very simple thing, but it's the support, the heart, the key that keeps Buddhism simple and direct and relevant in so many different situations without the extra complications. And that's where it also frees us from Buddhism, because as soon as you get attached to Buddhism, you're suffering. And if you have the Four Noble, or if you get attached to your practice, you're suffering. If you get attached to the results of your practice, you're suffering. So if you're always ready to look, always kind of look, oh, where's the Four Noble Truths in this situation? Then you'll see, oh, I'm suffering, I'm tense because of how I relate to Buddhism. What's the cause of that? Well, I'm attached. Might as well let go. Don't let go of the practice, but let go of the attachment. So Four Noble Truths will protect you from Buddhism. May you be well protected. So thank you all. And so now we